Flash.
Well, that's I'm kind of concerned about this, like, oh, the Democrats want to do cash payments of $2,000 for every citizen. It's like, the Democrats don't want to do that. They want to say that they want to do that so they can dangle a fucking carrot on a stick in front of poor people who desperately need that money. Like, right. Look, if that actually happens, if they do cash payments of $2,000 for every citizen, awesome. Fucking awesome. All right? That'll help so many people out. But I would bet, I don't know, let's do a fucking wager. Do you guys actually think they're going to do it, or are you on my side? Like,
I think
would you
it's
even make
on
that,
your side.
Take that bet.
I think
would,
it's
even, up, would you even take that bet?
I think it's up there as a way for them to say, we tried something else, you know, when what's yeah. currently going on inevitably fails. I don't think it's any real... They don't anticipate actually giving everybody $2,000, no questions asked, right?
No, they would never do that.
Yeah,
I think
that would prevent people from being like constantly struggling.
I think like the AOCs of Congress, like Ro Khanna, like there's like a small subset of people who were like, we actually should do this.
Yes.
But like people like Nancy Pelosi are like, well, it'll never, how could we, you know, we can't very well take my higher deficits. No, of course not. And then she's just covered in grease completely.
Yeah. I mean, but that really is it. And it's like, it sucks that she's that bumbling kind of like fucking horrible idiot, but she has the power in that situation. Mm-hmm. She can make the votes go the way she wants to. Apparently, yeah. with the magical energy that she gets from allowing her facial features to drift slowly further and further apart, even as they become simultaneously shinier.
She looks like in my quarantined state, I have been rewatching The X-Files. And whenever they do somebody who has a messed up face or like a burn victim, the makeup is like not that great. So it always just looks like somebody who just has just a layer of like cosmetic makeup on their face, not like Hollywood makeup on their face. And that's that's what she looks like.
Yeah, she looks like one of the party-going aliens at the end of Society.
She looks like a political cartoon that was then reinterpreted as a hyper-realistic photo.
Mm. Ooh, oh, yeah. Yeah, fuck. Like those like realistic Simpsons drawings where it's like, what if someone actually had a head this big or like an upper lip this huge? It's all horrific looking. Yeah.
Or she kind of looks like one
Homer
of the puppets
Simpson
from the puppets from Spitting Image, that like British puppet show.
Oh,
that
Prince Andrew had one and molested someone,
fucked a pig or something.
Oh yeah, that was weird.
Or no, I'm getting that. I'm getting that mixed up.
No, it's the one where Prince Andrew like had the puppet of himself and like raped children with it.
He used it to molest people.
Fucking the UK is so fucking awesome, guys.
It's always good. Always on the right side of things.
Yeah, you can't say it's king shit, but it is prince shit to do that.
It's queen shit.
It's princely behavior.
And speaking of princely behavior, Joe Biden this week.
America's darling prince.
Was talking to... reporter extraordinaire and very well-respected journalist Charlemagne the God, who has never said anything problematic, is not just a Twitter troll that somehow got a radio show.
That's what we are.
That's true.
We're Twitter trolls with a radio show.
Yeah, but he has a like stamp of approval by like Clear Channel.
He's on the airwaves. Yeah,
he's a national broadcaster.
This might be a bad time to let you all know that we've been offered a contract with Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Their very first epic weed socialism podcast channel. Mm.
Damn, well, I can't believe they did the market research and that decision really was borne out by the data. I'm impressed. I'm impressed that America has come this far, that they're actually ready for a program as explicitly anti-capitalist and anti-corporatist as ours to join the corporate family of SiriusXM and its satellite subsidiaries.
Yeah, I'm sure that contract is totally fine to sign, and it doesn't disallow us from saying anything that we would normally say.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, there definitely won't be a big tell-all expose publication in 1.5 years about how we skipped out on our contract and everything fell apart.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Actually, we should do it. I want to be as much like Chumbawamba as possible. So let's fuck this shit up from the inside and then just like fizzle out and die.
Yeah, or like Death Grips, where you just spend all the money on a very fancy hotel and then record an album in a bathroom and then release it without their consent.
Hell yeah.
And then continue making great albums.
Incredibly strong move.
Yeah. But So Charlemagne, I guess you're a comrade now, but he was talking to him, and Charlemagne asked a pretty decent question, I think, of like...
Yeah, well, he didn't even ask the question. He was like, we got to get you on later, because Joe Biden was like running off. He was like, I got to go. And Charlemagne's like, you can't do that to black media. And Joe's like, I do it to black media and white media. My wife's got to be on at 6. And then he looks at his watch and is like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And then Charlemagne was just like, we got to get you back on. You know, we want to hear more about what you're going to do for black people or something. Like, it wasn't even really a question. It was just like, next time you'll tell us about the stuff you have.
Right. And Joe Biden's response to that was, if you don't vote for me over Trump, you're not black.
You ain't black.
Oh,
my God. That rules. Fucking mask off.
He was not like trapped or something. It was not like Charlemagne was like... So I want you to know right now, what do you think of black people who don't know if they want to vote for you? He just like volunteered that out of nowhere. Just like, oh, while I'm thinking about black people, while there's a black on my computer, yeah, you're actually not black if you don't vote for me.
Well, right. You know what I think? I think that's been rolling around in Joe Biden's brain for a while, because he like always kind of, his campaign presumed to have the black vote at all times and like paraded that around as like a big pro for like why Joe Biden is a viable candidate. And he's been thinking this, and his handlers have been telling him, like, you absolutely cannot say that on any kind of program, especially when we send you on the Breakfast Club. And he managed to not. He was sitting there the whole time. He was like, I'm not going to say it. And then he was like, Charlemagne, you're testing me. I got to go. My wife's got to be on at 6. I'm going to fucking say it.
I'm very excited.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So this has, I mean, this just happened today with the day we're recording. And already, staffers and liberal journalists are already sort of flaying themselves online, being like, it's actually good that he said this.
Simone Sanders was like, he said it in jest, which is like, well, is a racist joke better than a racist serious statement? Like, like, oh, it's fine. Like, Hillary Clinton was just making a joke about black people.
And then what's the woman who said, actually, I'll look it up.
Yeah,
but she said... she's Ida Bay Wells.
Huge shill.
Absolute psycho.
N. Hannah Jones is her at, and she said, there is a difference between being politically black and being racially black.
What?
I'm not defending anyone, but we all know this, and we should stop pretending that we don't, which now I want to make a Joker meme of. You're saying there's a difference between being politically black and racially black? There is, and I'm tired of pretending it's not.
You're laughing. Yeah, that's Joe Biden says, if you don't vote for him, you're not black, and you're laughing.
So people are just...
Wow.
We don't know what you mean, ma'am. Not even close. I really have no idea. Like, sometimes I get the, like, faux woke, like, bullshit thing that they, like, think they're saying, but I really have no idea what being, like, politically black
is supposed to mean.
Like, what does that mean? I don't know.
It means Rachel Dolezal.
Okay. Oh.
She's black. She's politically black, meaning she's black for political reasons.
Oh, right. Like,
it's politically expedient for her to adopt a black identity.
There you go.
That's what politically black means.
Like that photo of those Trump supporters who were wearing white t-shirts that said "Blacks for Trump" on them.
Exactly. Yeah.
those people are politically black. Yes.
But yeah, most normal people who are black are saying that this is absolutely stupid and terrible and bad, and he should not have done this. And I wonder what Kamala Harris is saying about this.
That's a good question.
Nothing, because it's advantageous for her career to not chime in about this, because she wants a position in Joe Biden's cabinet.
Right. But it also came out this week that he had tapped, of all people, Amy Klobuchar to be his vice president.
Maybe. No, he's vetted. He's going to find out. He's going to look through her background. And if he finds out that she's racist enough, she can be his vice president.
She's like the one person who could actually reprise the role of like a badass Midwestern sky marshal, like Starship Troopers style.
I think during this election cycle, I have forgotten who Amy Klobuchar even is no less than 4 discrete times.
I think that Amy Klobuchar has forgotten who Amy Klobuchar is a couple times too.
I mean, how couldn't she?
And I think it's probably Joe Biden has no idea who Amy Klobuchar is.
I think Joe Biden is like a baby goat seeing the sun come up. It's just new to him each day. And he reintroduces, hello, miss, I'm Joe Biden. And she's like, Joe, I'm going to be your vice president or whatever. Or she throws a binder at him. I don't know how they interact.
Joe Biden is like the girlfriend and or the wife in 50 First Dates. Oh, yeah. Every morning he has to watch a videotape done by his wife explaining who he is and why he's there.
I'm Dr. Joe Biden and you're Joe Biden.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's like that he hasn't like passed like the mirror stage yet.
Oh, he doesn't recognize himself? He's like, oh, who is that handsome feller? I always see him every morning.
I'd like to shake that man's hand.
Yeah, he always dodges away though when I try to leave.
You're a feisty old man. I'll get you one day. So we're just seeing like an absolute collapse of the Democrats' bid for president, I guess.
Well, you don't think that somebody who is polling at like 4% nationally and is from a state that Democrats always win anyway is like a good pick for vice president? Mm-hmm. Somebody nobody likes?
Well, why do you think that they're doing these like bailouts for Wall Street and big business now? It is they're looting the coffers, right? Because they know that the Democratic Party will have zero to no power and it will just get worse for them because the Republicans have successfully pivoted and are successfully running the table as far as the fucking propaganda game. And the Democrats are doing absolutely nothing, propping up a literal like fucking Alzheimer's dementia man and offering nothing in terms of concrete material gains for the working class.
So you think they're just like torching the bait shack and collecting the insurance
yes,
money at this
absolutely.
Point?
Absolutely.
They're just 100%. Done with it. They're washing yeah. their hands. They would rather do that than see a progressive wing of the party actually make any kind of difference in the United States.
Yes. And they will most likely declare Joe Biden unfit or at or around the convention, maybe after, who knows, who fucking cares. But it doesn't matter because he's not going to win. Trump is going to win. Trump's poll numbers, they did dip a little bit because of the constant like orange man bad shit. But
it's
basically a lost cause.
Besides like the I don't know. I go back and forth on this because like besides the probably 25% of the country who thinks that he's like literally a god who is going to fix everything. Like most people through the coronavirus like pandemic think he's handling it pretty badly.
Well, like, that's the thing because the polls as far as like yes, the president's handling is terrible. But the polls as far as like who you will vote for in November, Joe Biden is getting his ass handed to him.
Oh, yeah. People are not sure. afraid to vote for Donald Trump, even if they're quote-unquote yeah. critical of him, because people in the United States are fucking brainwashed by like, oh, well, I don't respect the man, but you have to respect the office. And like every time 2 years yeah. go by in a presidential term, they immediately start rationalizing like, well, he did a few good things. And they're all going to talk about their fucking stimulus checks that they got. And they're all going to talk about their fucking like half-assed little measures. And, oh, he did increase my freedom. And everybody who's racist is going to have really liked all of the insanely racist shit that he did, and they'll just openly point to that in their friend circles. Like, he's going to fucking win, and the Democrats are going to dissolve. Half of them are going to defect to the Republicans. Half of them are going to start a totally bullshit little party that doesn't fucking do anything. And we're going to have better options for people when we get beyond that point.
As much as I'd like to think that you're right and that the Democrats will dissolve, I think they will just continue to be like a whiny, very vocal but not actually very, you know, materially active opposition party to engineer and basically just dampen any sort of opposition to the rising authoritarian right for probably the next decade or so until like the American empire completely collapses.
Yeah, it would rule if like the Democrats like split off and started a centrist party, because then that would mean like people like Bernie Sanders could take over the Democratic Party more easily. Like, I think they just, as long as there's a two-party system that like naturally arises from first past the post, they're just like, well, you need us. You can't do without us. And they just keep hanging around forever.
Well, you know, I mean, the problem is that they control the count. right? It's not just first past the post. I mean, obviously,
sure.
That
yeah,
is,
yeah, totally.
That is like a big part of it in terms of math. But like, I think the argument that like, oh, you're dividing the left if you vote third party is pretty stupid. Mm-hmm. And like, no one who's voting is left. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Well, or if you're a leftist voting, you have to know that you're not actually voting for a leftist party, or that if you are, there's like zero fucking chance of them winning.
But I think if there was like a sort of sense of like a democratic electorate where it's like you could make a party that was, you know, a communist party, and then you could actually vote for them, then we'd have a different kind of outcome, I think.
Right, yeah.
But the problem is,
like, if they could actually gain power when you voted for them, or like have any impact on the country or anything like that.
Right, but yeah, you're not allowed because they don't like, they kind of control all the counting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are we going to do with the fucking power vacuum? Either way, I mean, whether the Democrats fall apart or are relegated to irrelevance, you know, it's like, how do you build the coalition that culminates in some kind of coherent party? And can you even do that within the framework of bourgeois politics? It's like, I don't really think so. I think you need to overthrow some of the key elements of bourgeois power before like the party form even really is going to become effective, because you can start a communist party all you want. The Republicans will just shut you out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now I don't see that happening until American leftists move past viewing politics through a grievance-based lens and move on to an action-based mindset. Because it's like at this point, just think like even us and people we know, it's like, it's very easy to fall into this trap when the left has no power and you feel like the everything is just so overwhelming because the machinery of capital is just too strong. But even I think our show tries to do it, right? We try to talk about what should be done.
Right.
But so much of the left is still just focused on a grievance-based mentality. It's like when something comes up on Twitter and it's like people can't just help but like it challenges their worldview a little bit, and people can't help but just like the fucking Jersey e-girl. Like, yes, she's annoying and she sounds funny and it's whatever, but I mean, she's funny. She's just a fucking Twitter comedian, but it's like people were like going through her follows and shit. Granted, that's not an illustration of the left, but it's an illustration of the grievance-based mindset that I think is just like infecting everybody, even on the right too. Like, if you spend all your time on the internet, you're only looking at things through this tiny lens of you're getting content that's telling you the world is fucked up and you're not doing anything to affect any sort of change. You're not doing anything to exert your willpower on the world or join with others to exert your collective willpower on the world. You're just posting.
Right. Well, I think that's, you know, long been the sort of tactic of the state, right? Is that like, if you keep the people who actually have grievances just complaining and not actually doing anything, then you win, right? Like, it's way better to have people just like, well, like the only option you have is, well, go picket.
Yeah, like, especially in America when we're so obsessed with like free speech and like free expression. It's like, you can say your views all you want. Like, if people feel like they have some window of area of opportunity to be like expressing their views against the government or expressing like political goals that are leftist, but like any attempt to actually like picket, like, I mean, you can go like protest in like specific zones or whatever, but then like the cops arrest you if you're in the wrong spot, you're like outside.
But it's not even just that. It's about like, if you actually try to change power in terms of like, for example, MOVE in Philly, like, MOVE wasn't doing anything except for like housing a bunch of people and, you know, I mean, I guess they were arming the poor.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and
they were doing veganism and like black power shit, like ostensibly not shit that should have gotten them bombed.
Well, yeah. But also, I mean, they were protecting themselves against the police.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But even on a much smaller scale, like, there has been a decades-long campaign against Food Not Bombs, of just feeding homeless people.
It's like, well, it's technically, it might be expired, so you could hurt them. So better if they just don't have any food at all.
Right.
Right. That's like what happens, basically.
It's the same fucking argument with housing. It's like, if you house the poor, then you put them in dilapidated housing, it could be dangerous. It's like, I don't think it's more dangerous than a street corner.
Yeah,
I don't think it's
more
dangerous than the woods, you know, like.
Right. And so, but if you try to do that, then the actual mechanizations of the state come down upon you, because that's actually changing people's power. So, I mean, like, while it's, I think it's hard because some of that stuff feels like small potatoes, like doing mutual aid and joining groups that do, you know, like Food Not Bombs or, you know, whatever. It feels sort of like spitting in the face of a giant. Mm-hmm. But it does actually, to a very small extent, challenge power. And so, like, if all you're doing is being mad online, then you're not doing anything.
Even those little things, like, as long as they're community building and it helps get people involved, it, like, radicalizes people, and or at least gives them a mentality that's more open to radicalization, like in an anti-capitalist or fashion, or even if they just become really into mutual aid and they don't really care about what capitalism is or isn't, like, that's fine. That's making more people like that helps our cause. Convincing people to act like that helps our cause. The thing about Twitter, I think, is just that everybody kind of thinks Twitter is this big meetup where, like, for leftists at least, where we're just gonna like hash it out, and then one day we're gonna have it figured out and Twitter's all gonna agree and we're gonna be like, cool, that's the plan. And that's never gonna fucking happen. Like, you could go on Twitter to get some insight into something or follow people you like, but that's all it's for.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter for me is just about getting news and saying jokes, and, you know, that's all it is. It's about, you know, everyone can basically be their own specific brand of the Daily Show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone can just be like, well, these idiots are doing this. Isn't that funny?
Something happens and your response is either, oh, look, we got a new wife guy, or fucking welcome to look, it's Hell World, everybody. Gotta love Hell World.
Right. And it's just joking around, and it's fine. It's fun to joke around, but it's not doing anything.
Not at all. Absolutely not.
I mean, it's a fun time. And it helps you stay informed if you follow the right people, which is good. But it's not good
for your mental health, though, right? Because if you're it's constantly in this,
mine. Yeah, it's fun for my mental world
is, well, the thing is, you're constantly bombarded with capitalist realism, right? Even if you're posting about how much it sucks that the world is this way and something's happening, you're still being bombarded with the fact that it's happening every day, every minute, everywhere. Every single thing that happens is just a reflection of that. And it'll wear you down, which is why you got to take breaks and go offline and do that real life shit where you're actually doing something instead of keeping in that fucking grievance-based mentality.
Getting off Twitter doesn't get you away from capitalist realism.
I was gonna say
live
the
in the United
thing,
States or really anywhere in the world where you speak English and you consume any kind of media.
You know what I mean, John. Getting off Twitter means that you can go do shit that isn't just posting.
It's true.
Posting is not doing shit like mutual aid and helping people in your community.
No, I know, but you can still use Twitter in a healthy way. But like, I think there's like a 10 minute cap on that. Like, if you've had the same, if you've been browsing on Twitter for more than 10 minutes, like, you probably need to, are you hungry? You know, have you been drinking enough water? Are your feet cold? I think your feet might be getting cold. Like, literally just take basic care of yourself. But like, I don't know, if you want to be involved in revolutionary activity or like helping get it started during the quarantine, unfortunately being online is all you can really do. And that's been a special kind of maddening, I think, for a lot of people who are really inclined to like be out there serving people food or like de-arresting people or whatever kind of cool direct action shit people are doing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this whole thing feels, I mean, we don't need to, there's no conspiracy theory that rings true to me about like anybody creating the coronavirus, but we've seen the state absolutely take advantage of the coronavirus of like, oh, you can't leave your house and you're like a captive audience and you have no control over anything and you can't protest. So fuck it. We can do whatever we want.
A few coups while we're everyone's locked down.
Yeah, how about we do some coups? How about we just like do massive wealth transfer to the rich?
Maybe Red Scare? A little bit of Cold War with China? Anyone interested? Yeah, let's do it.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like you can't attribute to a giant conspiracy what can just as easily be contributed to something shitty happening and the powers that be taking advantage of it to increase their power, consolidate, and better exploit you.
Yeah, it's just opportunism.
Not without evidence.
opportunism, exactly. yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so I mean, it's been pretty crazy, and Joe Biden has just been sort of the pinnacle of all of this absurdity, saying, well, when is this from? Jail people in jail can't read.
The same interview.
Oh yeah. Also,
yeah, that rules.
My man just opens his mouth and like old words that we didn't remember were racist until now fall out. Like he's a special kind of person.
Right. So this person is trying to be president and it's not going to happen.
No way.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because it's like, I don't know when it probably has happened in the past that like young people had no interest in like the Democratic nominee, the Democratic Party, but like it feels like we're sort of at a unique time where anyone who's under maybe even 40, at best like 35 and under, are just like, I feel like no affinity for Joe Biden. He doesn't represent anyone or I know or me.
Yeah.
He has no interest in my life. And so it's like, I don't think that every one of those people is suddenly like, okay, well, let's overthrow the government. But they're definitely people who are like going to be in a weird limbo zone where they like have felt extremely plugged into politics and been like, Trump is horrendous. Trump is bad. Wait, this is all we have to replace Trump? Like basically nothing, no improvement. And they're definitely a population that's ripe for like being radicalized, for learning stuff to do to help people that like isn't voting for president because it'll feel extremely pointless to vote for Joe Biden.
That's absolutely true.
And when the fucking opposition, like the person who Joe Biden is up against is, I don't know if you guys saw this video from today, but it's a bunch of a parade of bikers on the actual grounds of the White House. They're not outside. They open the gates and there's a bunch of Secret Service agents just by the fucking like the circle of road that goes around the White House for like parades and stuff, just waving them on, the secret agents waving them on, and out of the giant fucking PA speakers on the porch of the White House, they're blasting Sweet Child of Mine.
Oh, it's no.
Like, that is this. God. We have Donald Trump is the most American president to ever hold the office.
Yeah.
And you think Joe Biden, a man who is completely asleep at the wheel and isn't even representative of what the Democrats have been pretending to be since Obama. Do you think he's going to win against Trump? No way. I don't like it. I don't want to see another Trump presidency, but at this point I don't see an alternative.
Yeah.
Well, I also think Joe Biden would be worse. Probably.
I've heard that argument from the left, but I can't go to bat for it. And I'll yeah.
I mean, what would he be better on?
Well, he wouldn't be.
Yeah, Joe Biden would have a level of incompetence that surpasses even Trump's, right? Like but he wouldn't be as much of a loose cannon and like as aggressive about it. Like Joe Biden would. Well, see, that's the thing.
That's not true.
Like, Joe Biden would just,
that's
like,
not true at all.
Joe Biden,
like,
well, Joe Biden would just lay down and let moneyed interests operate through him.
But
and
not only
Trump
that,
actively
he's way more of a war hawk than Trump. Like he's called for the tactical invasion of countries more times than Trump. Like he's way more of a loose cannon. We would have nuked North Korea by now.
Yeah. Like, and he's senile. So like, he's even more of a loose cannon.
I mean, his behavior as like in the White House with Obama resulted in like the death of millions of like hundreds of thousands of people. Like, he was a big reason for why we did what we did in Iraq and Syria and Libya. Like the idea that he's somehow like more responsible than Trump is just not borne out.
I think you're absolutely right, Bryn, about him being definitely worse on foreign policy. But there is an argument to be made that at least for if you're talking about purely damage control, harm reduction for working class Americans, that Joe Biden might be a tiny iota better than Trump. But like you said, the foreign policy shit, the fact that he's a war hawk, the fact that the Democrats are just as much, if not more, of a party of imperialists than the Republicans, it means that that whatever like sort of slightly less just ostensibly outwardly fascist legislation and executive action that the Biden presidency hypothetically could take over Trump, it cancels out.
Well, who even knows? It's like so fucking nebulous, because you could even continue to argue that the way that Trump destabilizes relationships with other countries isn't as openly hawkish, but will eventually like lead to more loss of lives.
Similar
when the
shit.
United States mm-hmm. is like a rat in a corner, just like furiously attacking everybody who it feels is its enemy, which is everybody by that point. So it's like it literally doesn't matter. They're just like two different, vaguely different routes to the same thing, which is the United States continuing to be horribly imperialist until it literally doesn't have the money or the lives to sacrifice to do it anymore.
Well, yeah, and that's
my United States is basically going to do the same thing in the world, but you're saying the Democrats are smoother operators about it.
Right, and I think that's what is actually
is that better or worse?
To me, that's sort of my position. Worse. Is like the idea that people will stop being so angry, and like the media will be like more like complacent and consenting, and do a better job manufacturing consent,
yes,
and giving absolutely. and giving praise to things like the coup in Venezuela, like the attempted coups in Venezuela, the attempted coups in Syria, and
there's not much criticism of that. Like, there's, you know, famously on Pod Save America, when one of the Johns was like, I agree with Trump in Venezuela. Like, liberals are fine with being like, well, Trump's foreign policy is good when I just hate his Cheeto-ness and what a big meanie doo-doo head he is.
But right. They don't actually give a
even
shit.
Even less pushback or even less like criticism of like, what is the White House doing?
But in the same way that it's like so much harder to criticize Nancy Pelosi for like the wildly racist shit she says and the wildly stupid like poor hating that she does, like then it would just go back to the banality of evil. But then also you have all of these people who are in the Republican side just doing what they're going to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like it could just get worse.
This is real like psychoanalytic like Slavoj Žižek territory, where he's like, at least with Trump the evil has shown its head, and the average American mostly I say can see it.
Yeah,
that's basically
that's
where
how
we're
I feel.
At with this. Yeah.
Well, I'm with you on that. There is an argument that can be made, which I don't think is legitimate, but that will be made over and over again by people who are ostensibly centrists or liberals. They're not leftists, so they might claim to be because they got the fucking Elizabeth Warren hex code tattooed on their arm. But they're going to make the argument that, oh, who do you want replacing Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Joe Biden or Donald Trump? Well, it's like, okay, if Donald Trump replaces Ruth Bader Ginsburg, he's going to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg with, like, I don't know, the big boy from Big Boy Donuts. Or Big Boy Burgers or whatever.
Yeah,
I might vote for the King and Big Boy as a ticket.
Yeah. But
the Burger King.
But if fucking Joe Biden replaces him, or replaces Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Joe Biden's going to replace her with, like, fucking like imagine the furthest right Democrat you can imagine.
Merrick Garland.
Somebody with the exactly. Yes, they already proved that the Democrats are not fucking any different materially than the Republicans, but it's the aesthetics. The people who say, oh, I would let Joe Biden rape me as long as he beats Trump. It's like, I've seen that on Twitter from liberal women, like middle-aged white liberal women have said that shit. And they're saying it because it's like, they don't care if the politics are the exact same. as long as the aesthetics improve, as long as they changed the motorcycles and Guns N' Roses to fucking like 12 speeds in Lycra bike shorts
and Coldplay
for a fucking like heart disease fundraiser, and the music is fucking, I don't know, Vampire Weekend.
Coldplay. It's Coldplay.
No, but Vampire Weekend is actually good because like, they literally just do Coldplay.
They're literally just doing fucking like grab him by the pussy, get her done, like MAGA shit for Biden.
Yeah,
like there's exactly. literally no difference between these people, and the idea that Joe Biden is somehow a little better in any way is just like completely buying their arguments.
It's like buying into the marketing of the DNC, but where they're like, well, he's the most progressive nominee of all time.
Like, I literally don't give a shit which god king of the Senate that we have no choice in electing. Like, I don't care. I don't care if it's fucking like Cornel West. Like, it doesn't matter. No well, one hey, should have on. That position.
Cornel West. That's pretty cool. pretty yeah, epic.
That guy rips.
Yeah, yeah, he's cool, but it's like he shouldn't have any power like that. Like, no, we shouldn't have that station yeah. in America. Like, the whole point is that we need to tear all of it down. I literally don't give a shit, like, who's in that position. Because it's like, they can, like, the Supreme Court shouldn't exist. Yeah, it's insane true. That like the like it's been so like the conversation has been pushed so far to the right. It's like, well, who do you want to be an unimpeachable, non-democratic god king of the law? Yeah. It's like, I don't care.
That's
no
the
one
only
should
option
do that.
That
what
power?
Do you mean?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Wait. An undemocratic, unimpeachable god king of the law. I'm going to have to go with Kurt Russell.
Yeah, very epic.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's got an eye patch.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, the Kool-Aid guy who bursts through the wall.
And he says, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He says, oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And if he did that inside workers' rights.
Some shit.
Yeah.
I
think that all four of us BP Bledis co-hosts should be unimpeachable, undemocratic god kings of the law.
I mean, yeah.
Things would get a lot better.
I would immediately, I'd abdicate my position without even thinking about it.
I'd keep it.
Cuck move.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how much I can get done before I think about something.
You would get a bunch of shit done and then be like, wait a minute, what am I doing? And then you'd quit. But you'd leave
just make all the changes and be like, yeah. I'm out. It only takes 5 seconds.
The only moral position is to like make it so that position can't possibly exist and then leave it.
Right. Shoot from the hip and get as much shit done as possible before immediately discharging it.
Before eventually you die and then Yugoslavia falls. Oh, that's Tito again. I'm sorry.
Well, okay. Right. So let's move on to another thing that is happening this week. Some dams. Tell us about dams, John.
There was an extremely large dam in Midland, Michigan, which is like northern kind of central Michigan, that was owned by this private company, Boyce Hydro LLC, and its co-manager Lee Mueller, who have apparently been warned over and over and over again and fined by the state of Michigan over and over and over again for not taking care of this dam and for letting it develop extreme, you know, structural issues. And if we know anything about water systems having structural issues in Michigan, it's that they don't get taken care of by the increasingly privatized system of people who have been granted ownership of them.
Of course.
And it even goes so far as like this dude who is responsible for this, Lee Mueller, if you look him up, there's photos of him wearing a Who Is John Galt hat.
So
straight up Iron Rand bro.
Yeah.
I think very bad Twitter stuff. Because I hate these kinds of dudes. And yeah, I mean, it fucked over so many families. It destroyed a really large area of the town, I think. I haven't seen a lot of reports on specifically what all the damages are, but it's like, it's just enormous. And if you look at photos of this dam, you can see this is like not a small body of water, and it's fucking
enormous.
It
looks like the ocean.
And the Michigan Attorney General has filed a lawsuit against Boyce Hydro and Lee Mueller. And it just sucks. I don't know. It just sucks.
Guarantee you they're going to end up with a slap on the wrist absolutely nothing's going to happen. They're going to pay a proportionately tiny fine, and it's going to continue.
Yeah, it's like they already knew they were violating the rules.
They're going to ruin another town in like 5 years from now, and they're just going to, it's just going to keep happening.
That's true. Mm-hmm. But there was a developer in closer to where I grew up in Michigan who got in trouble for illegally manipulating some land that he wanted to build like a giant water well station on. It was like protected land, and there was this big like multi-year fight over it. And then he was going to be subpoenaed to like criminal court, or like tried in criminal court for what he had done. And instead he rented a car somewhere in the South. I think it was in like Arkansas or Oklahoma or something like that. And he crashed into a wall at 200 miles an hour going to court. Yeah.
Hey, wait, he killed himself?
Yeah, he killed himself.
Strong That's move. How he killed himself? So driving into a wall?
Yeah.
I came into a burning
How do we know he wasn't faking that. His death like in the episode of It's Always Sunny, Mac and Charlie Die, where they crash a car into a wall but jump out at the last second to fake their own deaths? That might have been what happened.
Maybe. He might have done it. He might be somewhere in the Caribbean right now.
How do we know he was intentionally killing himself by buying a sports car and going 200 miles an hour, and he wasn't just trying to break the speed running record for the Cannonball Run?
Because the Cannonball Run has an elaborate system of rich white dudes who act as spotters and all like jerk each other off afterwards and tell each other what a good job they did.
Nice.
Yeah, no poor people participate in the Cannonball Run.
I can't imagine how you would. You have to modify a car so that you can carry enough gas in it that you can drive for 26 straight hours.
I don't know. I feel like there's poor people who steal stuff a lot. Like, I mean, like, there's definitely street racers who are like, you know, do a lot of stealing, and that's cool.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's cool, but I still don't think street racing is cool. Like, you're eventually going to just like smash into a family in a van. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% sure.
It's actually really interesting about the only time I've ever interacted with a person who was like street racing was my Uber driver.
That guy was so cool.
He was so cool.
Hell yeah. I hope he was doing it while he was driving.
No, he was showing us videos on his phone while driving of souped up cars.
That's sick.
And was like, listen to this engine. That's cool.
And he was telling us
if that happened to me, I'd be extraordinarily confident in his Uber driving abilities.
He was a great driver.
An incredible driver. Yeah, very safe.
I imagine he would be.
He said that he lost his car because he crashed it. Of course you crash. You crash all the time.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Well, that's the thing is like, how do you get into car racing without having backup cars? Like, you don't just buy one car and then race really good your whole life.
No, that's what he did. He didn't have a backup car. He was like trying to save up money to get another car.
That's an addiction. That's like a gambling addiction level of shit. Like, that's terrible. I mean, it's he was funny to think about, but
that's some fucking Howard Ratner shit. Like you got to win the race to pay for the car, and then
that's how it works.
So you have to win another race on credit to pay for another car.
Yeah, you have to like borrow other people's cars so you can win a race and get money. But he said, you know, the crazy thing is that he said he never raced for money. I don't know if he was lying, but
Sometimes
they race. Sometimes they race for pinks, you know.
Oh yeah, but that's kind of money.
I guess.
Yeah. Anyway.
If there's anything I've learned from the Fast and the Furious, it's that sometimes you have to be not only fast but also furious.
Yeah. To me, it's just like car culture is just so full of so many douchebags. Like, just because I talk shit on the Cannonball Run on Twitter, I still have people popping up who like. To get around the fact that I've muted that conversation, they'll just like tag me in a post on their wall and they'll have like one following and no followers. And they'll be like, John Paul Zichterman, how do you have such deteriorating retardation syndrome? I hate you and I would kill you if I met you. And I'm just like, dude, because I talk shit on some like douchebags and they're like, I look up to those douchebags. I have a poster of those douchebags on my wall. Who's
they're
the big
family.
Man now? Yeah.
What you should start doing when people get in your fucking shit about that is post the picture of Paul Walker just fried to a crisp.
But the more that I like antagonize them, it's like the worse and more racist they get. Like they all hop on their alts that have 88 at the end, or like say Rhodesian in the name or something. Like there are a lot of fucking Nazis in my replies who are like, car culture is good. Actually, it makes me feel big and strong. Like that was all really all they had.
Right. If you aren't terminally online, John found out about the Cannonball Run a few days ago, and everyone got really mad at him because he didn't think it was awesome.
It's not. It's really fucking stupid. I can't imagine pissing all my money away on something incredibly dumb when you could just go buy a GameCube and play Super Mario Sunshine really fast.
Yeah, and speedrun that.
Well, John, what you discovered was the perfect formula for a Twitter post, right? It is. You find something that is basically like the people have conflicting opinions on. Some people might have conflicting internal opinions on, where they have like, they have two opinions about a single thing.
Like
me. And then you take a hard stance one way or the other, and then you get a bunch of people that get mad and confused and disoriented. And then what you do is you write down the names of their accounts for later, and then you track them down, you kidnap them in a van, tie them up, pull their eyelids back, and make them watch propaganda.
Wait, I feel like I missed something along.
Yeah, I was not.
I just eventually muted the conversation and started posting some other shit. So that's cool. What I do whenever shit's all viral. Yeah.
I think it's also important that the topic be extremely niche and kind of interesting, because no one's really not that many people have heard of it, but the people who have heard of it have dedicated their lives to it, and then you shit on it.
They're waiting for the moment to comment.
I was talking about car guy stuff using gamer terminology, and I was also being like really irreverent the whole time. So all these car guys who have made car shit their lives, like it's their whole fucking identity, now like realize inside of like 10 words that I'm obviously an outsider, and then they see my profile pic and they're like, who's this scraggly long-haired hippie, doesn't even listen to Disturbed. I bet he doesn't even drink energy drinks. Doesn't have a Fox Motorsports hat. It's like, yeah, got my number, bro.
We got him. We fucking got him pegged to the wall.
It's almost like you think I'm a weed guy.
Yeah, I just like not a car guy's mad though. Because why are car guys so mad? Like that's the question. Like I don't want to just be the memer who's like, haha, you mad, bro. But a serious question. Like if any car guys want to like bare their souls to me and let me know why car guys are so deeply upset all the time, I would love to find out.
They're just always alone in their car. They're like bored because they're driving around. They don't even listen to our podcast, so there's nothing cool to listen to in the car. It's just they're alone.
That's why I'm saying we got to get hooked up with Sirius XM. Then we can be in everybody's car at all times.
Yeah.
It's just a continuous loop of all of our old episodes 24/7.
We already do that in trucks around America.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wouldn't be the worst fucking station. It's like, isn't there a station that does nothing but play the Grateful Dead and like Grateful Dead adjacent shit like 24 hours a day?
You don't like the Grateful Dead?
I hate that.
I thought we talked about
it. Oh, my God. I'd rather throw myself off the side.
Oh, my God. Grateful Dead.
John and I are in absolute agreement about this.
Yeah, and you guys both like fucking Steve Miller Band. Oh, my God. Let's not talk about this. Let's talk about
Steve Miller Band. Steve Miller Band knows. They know how to write a fucking hook.
No,
Steve
Miller Band. Terrible.
When to end a song. Geez, lot of Steve Miller Band songs just between 3 and 5 minutes. That's the sweet spot.
They should have been 0 minutes. They should end at 0 minutes.
They should end at zero songs.
How can you hate this?
I hate it. Do not play it. I'm going to talk about Facebook.
I will cancel you.
A few moments later.
The Southern.
It's just great. It's just great.
Disco songs?
You gotta get down to Swingtown.
What
all right?
song was Come that?
On. I don't know what that was.
Swingtown.
Swingtown by Steve Miller Band.
Yeah, that song sucks.
Classic. Great hook.
Not heard it.
Okay.
Great all around song.
Last thing we're going to talk about is Facebook. According to Newsweek, Facebook will stop labeling fake news because it backfired. Made more users believe.
They did this for 3 days. They did it for three days. And it was like so bad that they just stopped.
So I'm not exactly sure. So the reason that my personal interaction with this was that Mid's posting was inundated with Facebook telling me that my users, you people who listen to this show, were posting fake news or things that were mostly false, that because PolitiFact said they were mostly false.
PolitiFact.
Yeah, and when you would read the things, it'd be like, that's not really true. Like, it says mostly false, but it doesn't really say that anything in the article is false, just that the headline's conclusion is a little misleading or whatever. It's yeah. like, it's so insane to try. I mean, we've talked about this before, the whole idea of the fact-checking, you know, ideology-free. Yeah,
a pants-on-fire meter is not a replacement for critical thinking while you read an article. Like, right. It's never going to be.
So Facebook will be stopping it, part of its fight against fake news, because it basically backfired, and they said that the disputed label ended up making believers of fake news more defensive and more likely to insist on their version of the truth, according to the company. Academic research on correcting misinformation has shown that putting a strong image like a red flag next to an article may actually entrench deeply held beliefs, the opposite effect to what we intend. Shocker, shocker that an enormous billion-dollar company trying to tell you what's true and what's false makes people not believe it.
I for one think that Facebook should start putting more red flags on their website, mm-hmm. because red flags stand for communism and they are very cool and good.
I mean, I think this would be good if Facebook was, instead of it doing an algorithm to detect fake news, if they did an algorithm to detect people who post cringe.
Oh, see, now we're talking. Yeah. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
I give you pants fell down level of cringe.
Yeah. They should have little German shepherds that are cringe sniffing dogs. And they just go, ew.
Oh, like the Doge picture where he's like making a cringe face.
Did you guys see that thing on Twitter where some fucking blue check's parents were like human traffickers and made millions off human traffickers? And then she was like, it's not my fault.
Like Gia, what's her
Gia
face?
Gia Tolentino. I did see it. I haven't read all of
it. And then a bunch of fucking blue check marks are defending her.
I saw Boringstein posting about that, and I asked Boringstein, do I even want to know? And they told me no, and so I have not found anything further out about that situation.
Yeah, that is a pretty weird situation. Because I've actually read, not knowing who she was, not knowing the situation, I read her defense of her parents, and I was sort of... You know, I was like, okay, this doesn't sound that big of a deal. I get how it could be misconstrued.
I read some of that too, her like defense article about it.
But if you actually read what her parents were accused of, it wasn't by ICE. Like she was saying, like ICE is the reason that like they arrested my parents, and like they and it's like, I guess they were involved in that, immigration was involved, but they were actually being charged with defrauding people. Very, very brutal lending tactic.
Nothing she wrote,
exploiting,
like,
immigrants.
I mean, she was basically like, it wasn't true. I don't know, it was like nothing that she wrote seemed incongruous with like her parents having actually done that. It's like, if you committed a horrible crime, you wouldn't tell your kids, yes, I did in fact do this terrible crime. Mm-hmm. You would like hire lawyers and be like, no, it's not true.
Look, what my parents did was whack. But
yeah, and
I mean,
and
what does she write for? She writes for like New York Post or something like that.
The New Yorker, I think. I don't know what else. She's written a book.
To be fair, like, I really do believe that like you're not responsible for your parents. Like, but it's important to acknowledge that like if your parents were the CIA or like exploiting immigrants or doing something evil, you should acknowledge that A, it was bad, and B, that you may have privilege off of that. Like, if your parents were filthy rich off of like selling secrets to America or, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. like just be like, oh yeah, well I'm in the position I am and I have it because of, I benefited off of the wealth of my parents, which was ill gained. But what am I going to do except for, you know, say it was bad and acknowledge that, and no one would be mad. I mean, I'm sure there's tons of people on Twitter that would be mad, but like
one of the biggest figures in fucking leftist thought, Engels, was exactly that. Like, he was the son of a wealthy industrialist, and he turned around and he was like, maybe I shouldn't exist, you know, maybe this position that I was born into like isn't really all that necessary.
Yeah.
And or, like, that's kind of your responsibility if you're in a situation like that.
Or a more contemporary example, David Berman of the Silver Jews and Purple Mountains. His father was like, he realized when in his 20s that his father was like a horrible hedge fund, you know, a skeevy guy who did terrible things and, you know, foreclosed on people and defrauded people. And he quit music and dedicated his life to like changing those things and got into political activism. And then later in his life before he had to end his life because he was, you know, mentally, you know, unstable and unwell, and we all feel sorry for him. He got back into music because he realized he could do it while still doing that activism. But
yeah,
no one's mad at David Berman for having an evil dad because he was like, oh, my dad is evil. I should do something about that, or like use my position for good.
Yeah, if you act like you're completely not self-aware and to the point where you're taking advantage of the money and the advantages that you're getting because your parents are literal slave traders, and at the same time, out of the other side of your mouth, you're fucking talking about how great and woke you are because you're a fucking liberal blue check mark, like article farmer. Like,
right. And
you're
she also
a disgusting
like,
piece of shit and you should be fucking purged.
She also wrote a book about how nice her childhood was.
Oh my God.
That's weird.
What we're saying is, Barron Trump, we know you listen to this show. Whatever you've been thinking about doing to get free from your family, do it. You are bigger and stronger than your father, and the Secret Service will not shoot you dead. You can make it out.
That's
please
true.
Get in contact with me however you can. I will help you.
You are the expert.
Listen, Eric and Don Jr., they already have the market cornered on being the dipshit right-wing Trump fail sons. You have to be the leftist, queer, Marxist non right wing,
and we
son.
Believe you can turn Tiffany.
Son.
Yes, maybe I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if you can. She's like a socialite, right? She hangs out with Joe Biden's granddaughter, right? There was that picture.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's yeah.
Of, like Joe Biden's granddaughter and Tiffany Trump like hanging out together.
Yeah. Also, all those pictures of Joe Biden kissing his granddaughter on the lips. That's very cool.
That's so bad. I just remember when everybody shared that picture of their granddaughters hanging out, and they were like, it's a big club and you're not in it. And then like forgot about it. Now they're like, it's time to vote for Joe Biden.
Anyway, who do I vote for? Oh,
also,
great.
You know what? Don't be mad at the children of evil people. They didn't do it.
I got a quick question. Is it true that Trump is taking hydroxychloroquine?
It's true. Absolutely he said not. He is. I don't believe he really
no.
is.
Yeah.
It's,
no
so
way.
Okay. Apparently, a study just came out like today, like a large multinational study, with like 100,000 person sample size, that taking hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine apparently increases your risk of dying of corona by 34%.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Jesus I really hope Christ. Trump is taking it then for his health, obviously. I don't know.
Yeah. It rules so happen. Much. We love this guy.
Yeah, I'm just so disappointed that I don't actually believe that he is taking hydroxychloroquine. I sincerely wish that he would, and that he would take off that ridiculous mask. They're infringing on his personal liberties by making him wear that.
Yeah.
I heard that he, one thing he did say was that he tested positive, positively negative. He was positive that he was negative.
Oh yeah,
he was positively negative.
I tested positive in one sense, which is the negative sense. Where I can he not physically bring himself to say that something was negative about him?
I'm actually good in the sense that I don't have the bad thing.
Yeah, my blood type. Well, it's actually O positive in the sense that it's O negative, but I choose to look on the bright side, so I actually have O positive.
In terms of I make women make the O face.
I'm positive.
I'm positively O positive.
Folks, I'm positive they had an orgasm. I'm positive they came. I'm positive they had an orgasm.
I do not have the blood type that is bad.
Yeah. The doctor's like, so, sir, you do have an O negative blood type. And he's like, well, you know, that's your medical opinion. That's what you put in your little chart. But it's not really, that's technically true.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
And then he gets the wrong blood transfusion and he dies.
Who do you think, do you think it's going to be Klobuchar? Or do you think they're going to, like,
here, you know what'll be funny? Is if they pick Klobuchar and then at the convention they replace Joe Biden. So it's still Klobuchar, but the president is Hillary Clinton.
Oh, fuck. The most feminist ticket of all time.
That's been the move all along.
I'm loading the AR-15.
God, I cannot. It would be so funny. I want them to do it because it would be so fucking funny. Are you kidding me?
Clinton Club.
Oh, man.
I like Clinton Club.
Joe Biden will mysteriously manage to hang himself with bed sheets that were supposed to be too light to support a human body weight.
Clinton Club 2020. Yeah. I'm excited.
How many reporters do you think would ask any questions about Jeffrey Epstein? Like three?
Zero. None? Fucking zero. No. Unless Virgil has been just like hanging out, keeping himself strong and working out and getting ripped just so he can walk up to Hillary Clinton in the club and say, why are you friends with Jeffrey Epstein?
And why were you friends with Jeffrey Epstein? And is he still alive?
Where's Ghislaine Maxwell?
When was the last time you were at Little St. James Island?
Yeah.
Unless that happens, no one will ask him that question. All right. Well, that's been the show, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Beep Beep Lettuce. This has been the Beep Beep for the week. We really appreciate everybody being supportive of us through the terrible pandemic. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're well. If you'd like to hear more of our show and help us out more, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/beepbeeplettuce. You can go to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us there. It really helps people find the show. Follow us all on Twitter. Follow the show at beepbeepleaf with two E's, L-E-E-F. Go hang out in Mids Posting. Listen to my other show, Generation Loss, with Jeremy Hammond from Ballin' Out Super. Watch Beep Beep Lettuce Twitch. It's twitch.tv/beepbeeplettucepod. And we'll see you in the Discord.
Beep on, y'all.
Keep
Love you.